Welcome back to another episode of the Keep Talking with Sarah podcast. Yes, it's been a few months because there was quite a drastic, well, fairly drastic job change in between the last episode and now, and also just a lot of other things with life. So the original guest that I had planned on being the week after that last episode will now be rescheduled, but we do still have a guest on this episode. If you have been like me and a lot of other people that I know recently talking about social media and the toxicity with it all and cancel culture and everything, this is definitely going to be an episode that you'll want to listen to. So without giving too much away, we'll get to the sponsor for this episode and then get right to it.
Okay. I'll just, you know, I'll try. You know.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can go whenever you're ready.
Oh, is it ready to go?
Yes, this is just a casual.
Oh, okay. Oh, it says recording up there. Wow, this is crazy. I'm Chase Sabina, former photographer, recovering influencer. I currently work as the director of brand and strategy for a private equity firm based out of Chicago, Illinois.
Nice. Okay. The ex-influencer part, that's where we're just jumping in right there, because obviously that's what led us to this podcast earlier today with that conversation about you getting off social media, deleting Twitter.
Yes.
That's a big step for you.
It is.
So let's, I guess, just kind of start with what prompted that initially for you to kind of get off social media and stuff, because you're not completely off, but...
No, mostly. I don't know. I think what really set me off one day was seeing all of these like Snapchat influencers and the weird like stories that they have with all the dudes posting the shirtless ab pics, and but also combining the ab pics with Bible verses, and it's like it didn't add up for me. And then Twitter was just, for me, I'm very apolitical. I hate talking about politics, even though all my friends are into politics. So I just decided, like, all of my tweets anyway were stupid tweets. Like, it was just whatever, the random thoughts that I would have throughout the day. And so I thought my job was to break up their monotonous political tweets. And finally I realized they didn't really care. So I decided that my services were no longer needed. And so closed that account out, deleted TikTok, which I deleted after checking my screen time on the app. And that was a little alarming for a person who works a corporate job, spending way too much time of my working hours on that. I think the nature of social media now is just, it's so cringeworthy that it's like a car crash that you can't look away from. But I've been looking at the car crash for a little too long, having been involved in it. Yeah. And I'll be the first to admit, my social media presence definitely has been cringy in the past, which you can attest to. So I thought I would just remove myself.
Yeah. Well, is your following on Instagram still as big? I mean, I know it kind of went down a little bit, but you still have quite a bit on there.
It goes up and down. It's surprising how many new followers I get. But I think for every 3 new followers I get, I probably lose 2. So it's really not growing, or it's actually reducing on some months.
Do you think you could ever see yourself like enjoying posting on there again? I mean, because you're not really doing photography as much, or maybe not at all. But I mean, do you see yourself doing that as just a hobby that you would actually enjoy posting on there again, or you're just kind of done with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. It's always just like, I, you know, every day I get emails from brands asking me to shoot a campaign, and I think it would be fun to. The main reason why I stopped posting in general was just because I realized it came to a point where I was definitely like you become consumed by the amount of likes and comments and views you get. And it still happens. I still post on my stories there. Mm-hmm. But I decided to just remove myself from posting altogether so that I could change my mindset. And now I know that if I went back into that, I'd probably start to get consumed again by that. Yeah. So I would love to, but I also know my personality and I don't want to, it kind of ruined photography for me after a certain point. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how I would reapproach it. I think it would be fun. My ideal goal would be to be the fun, hip dad when I have kids who posts on social media.
Right.
And all my kids' friends are like, oh, he's got clout because he's got that. That's my dream.
Yeah.
That's a pipe dream and that'll probably never happen. They'll probably think I'm a loser and you know, I'll take it.
I doubt that they will think that. I guess one thing with you formerly being an influencer, looking at influencers now based on just a few years ago when you would technically have been one, I guess, that I feel like is where you bring in the cringiness mm-hmm. big time is today's influencers. And that's not even just Instagram, but I mean, obviously TikTok and wherever else, they're everywhere, like you said, even Snapchat, where you can subscribe to people's stories and stuff.
Yeah, it's, I would say, like, the scary part of it is how, like, on, I noticed, like, on apps like TikTok and I mean Snapchat, you're automatically subscribed to these people, and I tried to spend a whole day trying to unsubscribe from these people until I finally realized you can't do that. That's not how this works. But yeah, I've contributed to cringe culture in the past for sure, many years of it. But there's something different, you know. I think there's a difference between, there wasn't necessarily when I started, I don't think it was a culture of cringiness. It was just, you know, when I started in social media, I was 16, so I was young. Yeah. You know, I think you're naturally cringy at 16. But now it's just become like a whole culture of it. That's all TikTok is. That's all Snapchat is. That's all a lot of these Instagram people are. And like we talked about earlier, Instagram is either influencers with a lot of followers or people who are pretending to be influencers. Mm-hmm. And people who think that we care about their daily lives, which for the most part, you know, we don't really care. You know, we see their right. content because we follow them. But I think that's what social media has lost, the aspect of, you know, using, you know, I tried to use Instagram to keep people up to date with where I was traveling for photography gigs and photo mm-hmm. shoots and brand deals. And I think that's just how the average person used it. And now you don't even have to have 1,000 followers to be an influencer. It's everyone right. posting the same content, which yeah. I think makes it cringy because, you know, you through social media, you don't necessarily get to know a person. But you can see, you usually the motives aren't too hard to figure out by what right. they're posting.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that we were discussing at work earlier today is the whole concept of like fake it till you make it. And then that versus people being authentic and how that in the business world leads to people trusting the people that they know are the ones that are authentic. And I guess the way that kind of applies to social media is I want to only follow the people I know that are posting stuff that is real and not the ones that are editing their entire bodies and their face and trying to make it seem like their life is so much better when really they took one vacation that they posted about for a month or 2 months.
Right. Yeah. I think the word authenticity is so strange now because you can like go on any of these people's, you know, YouTube channels, right? And they'll usually make their usual content, whether it's vlogging or DIY or whatever it is. And then every couple of videos or every couple of months, they'll put out like when they hit a new milestone with subscribers, they'll put out like a thank you video and they'll be like, thank you so much for 1 million subscribers. And, you know, my only goal is to be authentic. And like, these people are trying so hard to be authentic that they're doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I think that's when it becomes really cringy. It's, you know, when you try so hard to show that you are sticking to your humble roots, right? You know, but the content you're putting out isn't reflecting that. That's when it becomes, I think it becomes a very slippery slope.
Right.
And also I think one thing that has definitely changed is how accessible these social media platforms are. I mean, when I started on social media, you know, there weren't many people younger than I mm-hmm. on platforms. I mean, I started on Tumblr and then moved to Instagram. I never dealt with people who were younger than me. Now there's kids who are 10, 11, 12 on these social media apps. And I'll be the first to admit, I've gotten into some TikTok arguments with 10-year-olds, you know, and I'll finish it and I'll be like, what am I doing? You know, just hanging my head in shame. Like, did I just argue for an hour with a 10-year-old about politics or something? Yeah. And it's just the nature of social media has changed. And I would argue, you know, probably for the worst.
And one thing too, I guess, from a different side of it is the privacy side. With more and more people being on multiple platforms, sometimes it's just kind of like you go through that of wanting to just completely delete all of it and not have any social media at all. And then just, okay, well, maybe I want it private and I want maybe just a handful of followers that are people that I actually know, and that's it. Because
it's weird having
everything out there.
And I've noticed, and maybe you've had a similar experience, I've noticed in unfollowing people, I hesitate before I unfollow certain people because you question, well, what are they going to think of me if I unfollow them? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just a unique thing to me.
No, but that's very common. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, what was interesting is I had a girl when I was unfollowing people on Snapchat the other week, I followed her on Snapchat and on Instagram. And within under a minute of unfollowing her, she somehow noticed and messaged me and asked why I unfollowed her. Mm-hmm. Which is just crazy. Like, people are on their social media so much that they're going to notice a one follower difference,
right? Yeah,
which
or
is
enough
just
to keep up with it on a whole separate app and see who specifically is unfollowing them and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, I mean, it's definitely dangerous to have that type of mindset where, you know, we live in a culture where follower count dictates self-worth, it dictates your popularity, it dictates the social hierarchy amongst friend groups. And I was actually talking with one of my coworkers. His younger brother is, I believe, 14. And the friend groups at his school are dictated by how many followers you have on TikTok.
That is insane.
Which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's scary. I mean, you know, if I were in high school now, I would not have any friends if that's how my popularity were dictated. I think at most I ever had like 1,000 followers on TikTok, which is absolutely nothing. So, I mean, my social hierarchy, I'm bottom of the rung.
Well, and then, I mean, you've got so many filters on all this stuff too that it kind of freaks me out as a girl to think about younger girls seeing that. And everybody tries to, or at least they make it seem like they're trying to educate people so that way they realize that that's a thing. But it's just that they still don't understand the amount of people that are doing it. I mean, not trying to call anyone out by any means, but I mean, I have friends that they do that on a regular basis, that they'll use filters and change their actual face shape and stuff. And it's just like, why? I mean, why can't you just accept that that's how you look? And if you want it changed, then okay, like, do something to actually change it. But if not, just accept it. Don't, what's the point of changing it so other people can think a certain thing from a picture or a video of you? You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
And that's why I chose from day one to stay behind the camera. You know, I had the conversation with myself. I said, you should not be in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. We weren't meant for this influencing stuff. And so now I just take pictures and, you know, it works out. No mean comments. I still get some, but.
Yeah. I mean, at least in your case, as somebody that's just, if you were posting just to show your photography and stuff like that, I feel like that's different because you're doing it just because maybe just you're proud of the pictures, you know, or you're just kind of having a place to display them all. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if anybody's even following you to see it or not. It's just, you know, nice for you to look at, which is kind of how I feel about it versus, okay, well, let me post this to see if I can get this many comments and stuff. At this point, nobody, like you're saying, nobody actually cares about a lot of stuff. So then it's like, okay, well, if I'm not sharing it just with only friends, then why am I sharing it?
Yeah. And not also, I mean, I'll be the first to admit that a lot of the posting I did, you become addicted to the likes, the comments, the dopamine rush from it. But also, you know, on my side of things, you know, it's very easy to become addicted to the financial side of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I look at how much some of these, you know, 13-year-old kids are making on TikTok, and I'm like, man, I wish I were born 10 years later. I would be making way more money than I ever made back then. Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, obviously, like I said, these apps and these platforms are so much more accessible that anyone can blow up on them and anyone can make money. I mean, the crazy thing that I saw the other day, again, I don't really use Snapchat. I probably send 5-10 snaps a week to people. It's just not something I do.
Right.
But I read something the other day that like the Snapchat spotlight, like the equivalent of TikTok, people are making like $100,000 a week off of those from getting featured.
And that's crazy.
I posted a few just for fun, just to see, you know, am I going to make $100,000? And I didn't. I think I've made about 38 cents so far. Uh-huh. So I can afford half of a McChicken. I think kids see how easy it is to make money and how many kids aren't going to college or even finishing high school in some cases.
Yeah.
Which if you had asked me that 6 years ago, would have loved it. My parents still made me finish high school, but I think the financial gain is also really dictates a lot of this. And I think I read somewhere online, one girl was asked why she was trying to become TikTok famous. And, you know, they asked her a series of questions and they asked her, like, are you happy with yourself? And she said, well, I know I'm not the prettiest person. And I'm paraphrasing here, but she was like, I know I'm not the prettiest person, but if I can blow up on TikTok and make money, then I can get surgery to afford to look how I want to look. And that was just, that was terrifying.
Right. Dang, that is so sad. Yeah, I think too, with the people that are doing it specifically for trying to just get a lot of money from it, maybe it's just, it's our age or just the fact that we just happen to be in that group of people that's kind of burnt out on all of it. But it's like, you look at the amount of money that you can make. And then for me, and in your case, when you're talking about screen time, it's like the privacy and the time ends up being worth more than the money that you could possibly make off of it, just because, you know, mentally and physically that's going to take a toll on you compared to the others.
Yeah. And at the same time, you know, a lot of these kids before they were big on TikTok or any other app, I mean, they were living normal lives, I would have to assume, you know, going to school, having their friend groups. And I think in, you know, growing a social media presence, you tend to go wherever you can feed off of similar people, people with sometimes more followers, so you can grow through them. And you end up sacrificing, you know, your old friend groups. You end up, like I said, some people aren't even finishing high school or finished dropping out of college. Or, you know, you give up a lot in the process, you know, and obviously the most notable one is mental health. You know, I can't even imagine what these kids' mental health is like, you know, being seen by, you know, millions of people every single day. And the comments, I mean, these 12-year-olds are just vicious, you know, in the comment section. And I, you know, I'll be honest, some of those comment wars that I've gotten into, I'll be the first to admit it, almost 24 years old, I've lost a few of them to kids who are over a decade younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, they're much more quick than I am. But it's a terrifying thing to think about. And it's also terrifying knowing that as I get older and I'm trying to settle down, trying to raise kids in a culture like that, it can only get worse from here. And that's scary.
So you think it will just continue to go downhill? Like, you don't think there's anything that could potentially make it better?
I think the devices are so accessible that they're, you know, you could take away Snapchat, you could even take away TikTok, there's going to be another app that shows up that's going to take its place.
Yeah.
I think it's really difficult to moderate. Parents these days, from what I've seen, care less and less. You know, I mean, I was probably 13, almost 14 when I got my first smartphone, mm-hmm. you know? And now these kids are getting them, you know, they're basically fresh out of the womb with an iPad.
Right. And,
I mean, it's, there's no way to, you know, when you raise a generation, this is non-scientific, but this is mm-hmm. my guess. If you're going to raise a generation of kids on technology, that's always going to be a part of their lives. And there's no right. way to pull back or recover from that. Unless you were to, you know, make some crazy mandate that says, if you're under 18, you can't spend more than X amount of hours on social media, which
yeah.
I'd probably be, you know, I'd probably be for that. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's a difficult thing to manage. And, I don't think there's any coming back from it, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing for some of my friends, cause I mean, even this week, I've kind of just been giving myself pretty much no time on Instagram. I mean, if I happen to click on it, then it's like, okay, I'll look at the post that's right there and maybe some people's stories, but that's it. I haven't really been scrolling on it for 15 or 20 minutes to a couple hours or anything like that. But some of my friends, if they were to try and do that, they can't do that. So yeah. I think part of the problem is just that people don't even seem to know what to do if they aren't on social media. I mean, because for me, I know that I have enough hobbies that I can do something instead. I don't have a problem with reading or just watching TV, which is still a screen, I guess, but it's not social media. But right. I feel like a lot of my friends have no clue what to do if they're not checking their phone and stuff all the time.
Yeah, I dread to think of what I would be like if I didn't work as much as I do. I mean, I probably work on average maybe 12 hours a day in the office, and so mm-hmm. by the time I'm out of the office, I just go to bed, I'm done for the day, or I go to the gym or wherever.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine where I would be like if I didn't have hobbies. And I have a lot of friends who are similar. You know, they graduate college, they move to a new city, they have no friends, they don't know what their hobbies are, because it's hard to develop certain hobbies when you're in college, because it is yeah. a bubble, right? You're not living that 9-to-5 lifestyle. And so it's easy to, you know, turn to social media and use it as your fallback. And I think I've seen people who overcompensate and start posting more to try and show how good their lives are yeah. when they move to a city where they know no one. And it's, you know, it's the envy factor of social media,
mm-hmm.
except I think people fail to realize that no one is really that envious of them. You know, a lot of people have had similar experiences, you know, maybe not right. the same ones, but a lot of people have traveled, especially at our age, right? A lot of our friends have all traveled as much, if not more than us.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them haven't done many things that we like, that we're doing right now. So they're not really going to be envious from looking at our posts more often yeah. than not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're basically, you know, you think you're posting for other people to keep them updated, but you're just doing it for yourself at the end of the day.
Right.
And when I say yourself, I'm not calling you out.
No, I understand. I got you. Along with that too comes the whole part that you had talked about earlier today when it comes to trying to date somebody. I mean, yeah. now you either have people that you're meeting them through dating apps and you have no idea what they're like because you're having to go based off of social media or how they talk through an app yeah. or something. Or you also have the group of people that they're just on their phone so much and don't know how to have actual conversations. So yeah. then you do meet up with them and they seem okay. And it's like, you don't even know how to talk.
Right.
Like you can't carry a conversation for anything because you're just going to keep checking your phone every 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah. No, social media has made dating so difficult. Like, I mean, when I was like younger, back when I was like doing social media, I definitely used mm-hmm. dating apps. It was never very serious. And then now that I'm getting older and, you know, I want to settle down, I'm like treating these social, like these dating apps, they're basically social media platforms at this point.
Yeah.
With how frequently people update them. And I treat them like my life, like my relationship status relies on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit scary because it's like, I'm trying to make an impression for people who I don't even know, right. you know, you can't predict what they want to see. but you're trying to, you know, navigate those waters and, you know, be an all around like great guy, but everyone's different. And the majority of people aren't going to like the same things that I like. And, you know, how do you capture that niche audience of people who have a similar personality as you? And so, yeah, I go through this constant phase of I'll have dating apps and then I'll go 6 months without it. And then I'll be, you know, I'll be in a new city for work and I'll be like, well, I'm just going to download it for fun. And it never ends well. You know, I always, every time I get off, I'm like, thank, that was stupid. Why did I do that? I'm coming to the end of one of those cycles right now where every, you know, there's a lot of great people out there, but like you said, you know, you move off of the dating app and onto texting someone or even FaceTiming or even going out in person. And these people can't hold a conversation, or if they can, the only conversation that they can hold is about themselves.
Right.
Yeah. And the different experiences that they've had. And, you know, you can get a pretty good summary off of someone off of their social media and if they're frequently posting, and you can probably get a pretty good read off of what their general personality is. So I would say for dating, I look for people who don't use social media. Right. That's probably a safer route to go down.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, even people that try and say stuff about the person that they are dating, like whether they need to be posting each other all the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of at the point where it's like, I'm trying to keep that stuff to myself. Everybody else's business is everywhere out there. You know, I'm trying to keep work and personal life, relationships and stuff completely under wraps. One guy that I work with the other day knows somebody who the wife is an influencer and they're going through a divorce right now because she was making money off of just displaying their entire lives to the world. Boy. And I just can't imagine that.
That has to be so difficult to like work through. I cannot. Well, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, like I'm not saying like I've been in many serious relationships, but in the ones I have, like you do feel sometimes like an obligation, you know. It starts out small, like, oh, I want to tell people that I'm dating someone, right? And then there's certain types of people who are like, well, you need to constantly remind people. And it's like, then it can kind of become an addiction to that of like, I got to show, you know, whether it's relationship status or wealth or, you know, whatever it is, you know, flaunting a certain lifestyle. And a lot of times it's made up, right? Like my life is not even a fraction as good as it looks on my Instagram. Like, you know, and I've been lucky to do a lot of traveling, but you know, what my life when I was not on the road taking pictures in Europe or traveling across the country, like my life was the most boring thing ever. I was hanging out at home, going to classes, and you know, you never show that.
Yeah.
And it you know, becomes a very negative thing for yourself, I think, at times, because you can start living your own lie. And I know a lot of people who have done that.
Yeah.
You know, because you try and save face and you know, it's near impossible to hold the same personality that you have on social media and transfer that over to real life.
Right.
Now, what people very rarely want, you know, they're not going to be, I found this in my personal life, but very few people have been attracted to the social media version of me. And it comes back to that authenticity. So if I were to design my own social media app, it would be, and I don't know how you would ever go about this, but forcing people to just post candid Snapchats or snapshots of their daily life. And I guess that's what Snapchat is supposed to be, but still people manage to glamorize the random aspects of their day, like going to Chipotle or whatever it is. You know, I don't know how you would create an ideal app, but forcing people to show like what they're doing in a specific moment, not just what they select, you know, that goes back to the invasion of privacy thing. So that would never work. But, I would love to have an app where you could see like the real raw uncut version of what people are doing when they're not flaunting their wealth or they're traveling and their busy schedules.
Yeah. And I mean, almost in the way to me, VSCO cannot be considered social media, even though you can follow people on there. I don't consider it that, But at the same time, I kind of would like if social media was more like that, because you don't see the number of who reposts the picture. You don't see the likes or anything like that. You know, it pretty much is just for you, and you can keep a collection of other people's pictures that you just happen to like too. But I mean, if Instagram changed to where they didn't show any of that stuff, I feel like it would be a ton better, but I don't know what happened to that, where they were going to do that.
Yeah. I think on social media, like, I think one of the things I look back on Tumblr, you know, it was a conscious decision of you were sharing a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it was clearly like, it was an aspirational lifestyle for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you acknowledge that. It was no one trying to front like, oh, this is my lifestyle, I'm living this way. It was obvious that people, you know, that's just a lifestyle that they wanted to potentially emulate, or that they enjoyed a specific look. And you never went into that being like, oh, I want to be like that person who was sharing that content or reblogging it. It was just, I like what that person shares.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really great way to go about social media. It's okay to post that, you know, travel content, or, you know, flaunt your wealth if you've got it, right? But you should be, you know, I think if you're going to lust after something, lust after like the lifestyle and use that as a motivator, mm-hmm. not so much as, oh, I'm envious of that specific person.
Yeah.
I think that's where it becomes a really slippery slope. You know, I think having motivation and getting that from other people, you know, I mean, for me, Tumblr inspired a lot of my photography, and that mm-hmm. gave me something to work towards. I think that was a very healthy thing. And then I brought that over to my own platforms, which was Instagram and sometimes Tumblr. But I think it becomes really dangerous when, you know, you try and show all, you know, and what I find is people aren't posting one lifestyle. Oh, I travel all the time, or, oh, I drive a nice car. They try and combine every lifestyle that other people would want to see and cram it into one. And that's when you know it's not authentic. That's when you know it's not real, because no one has enough hour in the day, that many hours in the day, to like fit all of that lifestyle into one, you know? While also managing, you know that a lot of these kids are in college or in high school, and you know that it's just not realistic. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably when it becomes cringy, because you're like, this is so unrealistic,
right?
It would be impossible to maintain that. And I have thoughts all the time where I just want to go and comment and DM these people and be like, I know this isn't real, but I haven't done that yet.
I mean, if you're getting off social media, at least you won't have to see it. So then you don't have to comment.
Exactly. But then it's weighing in the back of my brain, knowing that this is happening and I can't be a vigilante for it if I don't have any accounts.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel that kind of tinge of, oh, I'm being left out by not really knowing what's going on because I'm not seeing this stuff anymore?
I do, because I hear people talk about it, or mm-hmm. they'll reference certain things. And I just feel totally out of the, you know, in the dark. But I also enjoy it. Like, I don't want, this is going to sound weird, but it's like, it's enjoyable being on the outskirts of things, because it's become so normalized to spend all your time on these apps and keep up to date with people that you don't even know.
Yeah.
And I think it's more, and I don't do it because it's enviable, but I think people kind of envy that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely feel more free not feeling the need to check up on it constantly. And I think other people who struggle with, you know, I'll just call it a social media addiction. Yeah. You know, they always ask like, oh, how did you do that? And it's like, it's really not that hard. You just delete the app. Like,
right.
Really, it's nothing special, but it's enjoyable. Like, kind of like talking, it's enjoyable talking about your freedom from that in a mm-hmm. way. Cause it's like, that's now, like, I think for some people, not being on these apps and living like an actually authentic life, and whether good, bad, or ugly, is that aspirational lifestyle. Yeah. That's my hope, that we can revert to that at least,
mm-hmm.
And move and find ways, you know, to use devices and these platforms just more authentically, more organically. I've been on the side of things where I post the best side, mm-hmm. and I know how that made me feel. And I think by consuming that content, you're enabling people to continue doing that. And so at some point you kind of have to like cut the cord and say, all right, you know, losing me as a follower isn't going to change, you know, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you can kind of feel better about yourself for not contributing to that culture.
Yeah.
You know, I call it a culture of toxicity, you know.
Oh, it's definitely that.
Yeah. There's so many better ways to go about using your time. I know one of my friends, he recently started going to therapy, and his therapist asked him, he's like, do you spend a lot of time on social media? And mm-hmm. he's like an influencer. I mean, he is an influencer. And he was like, yeah, I spend probably 10 hours a day on social media doing different things. Mm. And his therapist was like, can you not do that? Like, do you, like, is that your primary job? And it isn't. And so he's like, well, take a week and try and cut it out. And my friend did it. And he ultimately has decided, he's like, I don't need to do anything with social media anymore. And his job isn't,
oh, really?
his day job isn't even in social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like something he did on the side, and he's still spending 10 hours a day. So I don't even know how the guy sleeps at night.
Yeah.
Or does his job. But I think just sometimes just forcing yourself to do the hard thing, you know, mm-hmm. it with social media, and especially stuff like TikTok and being 60 seconds at most, it's like, it's just meant to be a quick time filler. You just
right.
quickly go on, check it for 2 minutes, and then you can close the app. But you notice how many times you do that a day. And mm-hmm. within my first week of deleting TikTok, I would go to where I know the app was on my screen.
Yeah.
And I would try and click it. And then I'd end up opening the weather app. And I'd be like, well, I guess I'll look at the weather app now to fill this time.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, you have muscle memory of how to get there. And that's right. scary, because it's like, you know, it should be there. And then I didn't even know what to do with myself the first week. I was like, what do I do with my time now?
Yeah.
And now I have so many friends who talk about like new TikTok dances or trends or whatever. And I just, it's crazy how that has become such a societal and cultural thing that everyone can kind of relate to,
mm-hmm.
like these different dances. And I'm like, I have no idea what you guys are talking anymore, because yeah. it changes so frequently.
Right.
It's only been like a month and a half for me being off of these apps. And yet I'm still like totally in a different world than these people just suddenly in a month and a half.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's almost like you feel like if you get rid of it, you're not going to be understanding what people are talking about. But in reality, the people that aren't on it, their lives are no different not knowing any of that.
Exactly.
You know?
No, there's no negative impact from me not knowing what Charlie D'Amelio is doing, which I barely know who that is anyway, but.
Right. And the thing is too, on these platforms, it seems like people like that are just huge celebrities, but if you're really comparing them to actual celebrities, they're nothing, because the majority of the people that you would ask, do you know who this is? They have no idea who that is.
Right.
Which is crazy that it's portrayed like that.
Yeah. They've had no cultural impact in any way, shape, or form yet. I mean, there are people, I mean, I know a girl from high school or college, excuse me, who will like post like whatever Charlie's doing, like recreate her dances,
mm-hmm.
and be like doing this dance every day until like doing Charlie's dance every day until I'm TikTok famous. Like, you just graduated from college.
Oh gosh.
How And I guess probably the pandemic has contributed to that in a sense, you know, where, okay, well, I can't get a job. Maybe I'll become TikTok famous, you mm-hmm. know, this month. And, you know, it's crazy where you just hear all these new names of new influencers and stuff. And, you know, just a month away from it, you know, you just can't keep up with it. I'm happy that I'm not. But sometimes I admittedly, I'm in conversations, I'm like, man, I wish I knew who that person was.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I am in the marketing world. And so
right.
I've worked with a lot of influencers and
tons, you know, of businesses are on there.
Yeah. Tons of businesses, you know, these companies will ask me, you know, should we be on TikTok? And I'll be like, I mean, could be, yeah, it'd probably be good. I just had a project last week come up, and they wanted to create a TikTok account for the company, and I had to give the project to an intern because I don't have TikTok. I'm like, I can't, mm-hmm. I'm not downloading it just for this. you know, when you make a TikTok for the company, you can show me, but don't send it to me because I'm not opening an app.
Yeah. Even people that are saying stuff with the quarantine lasting as long as it did and how stuff like, you know, Netflix and everything that was streaming, they're going down a little bit with the people that are watching stuff right now, I guess, because everybody's going back to their jobs. So they don't have as much time to do it. But I don't know that people are going to be off their phones any less because they're out of the pandemic now, because then you have more events opening up and stuff. So then now they're back to posting more than they were, probably because there's more stuff that they're doing and they feel like they have to show it off what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is, like, along that same train of thought, and you said it earlier, like, you don't have any trouble reading. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that bookstores can still exist right now. Like, that blows my mind that there are people who are actively going in there. Like, you know, I travel a lot for work and every airport has a bookstore. And so I was flying yesterday and I walked into one and I bought a random book because I knew that the flight I was going on didn't have Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I remember, like, when I was buying the book, I was like, that's an inconvenience that I'm not going to have Wi-Fi. Yeah. And it was a quick 2-hour flight. And I was put out because of that. Mm-hmm. And like, we live in a culture where it's like, I mean, and I tried to read the book and I gave up like 30 minutes into the flight. I was like, nope, I don't have the attention span for this.
Yeah.
Which is embarrassing because I used to have to read so much in school. Yeah. And now it's like a couple pages in, I'm like, well, I'm exhausted. Let me go take a nap.
Yeah. With the amount of kids that have ADD and ADHD and stuff nowadays, is that because they had an iPad when they were 2 years old and now they're just all over the place looking at stuff and they don't know how to read and their parents didn't teach them how to read because they're just like, here's an iPad, watch this video.
Yeah. That freaks me out. I probably, by the time we have kids, we should probably just assume they have ADD until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Anything and everything. Yeah. That's what it seems like nowadays. It'll be an interesting world at that point.
It terrifies me.
If the world gets to that point.
We might not. Not to be gloom and doom, but who knows at this rate.
Yeah. We saw how last year went.
Exactly. I can only go downhill.
Yeah. Well, this would usually be the time that I would say, you know, plug your music or anything else. But since you're off social media, that is not helpful for you at all.
Hey, all I have to say is I have really nothing for you to follow, but follow Sarah. That's I'll plug it for her. You know, I don't know if she wants more followers, but give her more followers.
I don't mind podcast listeners because it would probably motivate me to make more than one a month, which is what I'm aiming for in the next few months.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then share the podcast. And if for some reason this podcast finds its way into the hands of people that do follow me, unfollow me. That's what I'll ask.
Okay. Well, I will probably still put your handle in the description so that way people can at least look at the photography that you did or that you do have out there that you used to do.
I'll take it. That's good enough.
Okay. All right then.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
And that's a wrap with this episode of the Keep Talking with Sarah podcast. And just remember, when you get wrapped up in all of this social media stuff, you just really need to be aware and know where your worth and identity truly come from. And that is in the fact that God created you exactly how He wanted you to be. And so you shouldn't have to feel like you have to edit these parts of yourself or make your life seem better than it is, because He has everything working out in His plan if you just trust that. So I just want to leave you with that today, and that'll be the end of this episode. And like Chase said, I would highly appreciate if you followed along with this podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe on Spotify, and you should get notifications on both of those when a new episode is out. And then you can, of course, listen on Anchor if you don't do Apple or Spotify and you just want to listen online or on any other podcast platform. And with that, I'll catch you on the next episode.